Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a long period of time, we're going to be studying together from the book of Galatians. I just began this in the last lesson, and so we're not very far into our discussion of the reason for the book and the main issues that are discussed in this book. We have not actually gotten into the text of the book itself, but I want to continue today to talk a little bit about the background of this book. In the last lesson, I pointed out that Paul, on his first missionary journey, had devotedly and with great sacrifice preached the gospel in this area of Galatia, especially in the four cities of Iconium and Derbe and Lystra and so forth. And when the Apostle Paul was in these places, he was preaching the gospel with all his heart. He was preaching the gospel under great persecution. And so in every city, he had troubles of one kind or another. He was not able to spend very long a period of time in any city. And because of this, he had little opportunity to really build up these new Christians in the faith. I think there are two things that are important in our lives even today. First of all, that we trust the Lord Jesus alone as our Savior from sin. I emphasized this in the last lesson. Jesus is the only way to heaven. We don't add anything to Him. We don't take anything away from Him. He is the only way to heaven. It's not through the church. It's not through sacraments or our baptism in our church. It's not through good works. It's not through anything else. Jesus is the only means of salvation. And so we come only to the Lord Jesus Himself for our salvation, and to no other person, to no other means of salvation. So these Christians were Christians indeed. They had trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But the second area they needed was to be built up in the faith. In other words, they were untaught people. They were people who did not understand all of the faith and everything that it would mean for their lives. They didn't understand the Christian life itself, how to live the Christian life, the work of the Spirit in their lives, and so forth. We're going to see this in Galatians 5 and 6. And so these people were untaught, and they were open for false teaching that might come in. And as I pointed out in the last lesson, when the Apostle Paul left, the false teachers were very cleverly waiting for opportunity to come into the churches and to destroy their faith. Not to completely destroy it, but to add to their faith their false teaching. And when you add anything to the truth of the gospel or the truth of God's word itself, you have taken away the truth. You've taken away the gospel. It's no longer the gospel. Paul makes this clear in Galatians chapter 1. In other words, it's not the gospel anymore when you add to it or you take away from it. So these teachers were very clever. And just like teachers today who knock on your door with their false teaching, with their books they want to sell you, and with their invitations to attend their church and listen to their teaching, or over the radio you may hear them as well. So these false teachers, we call them Judaizers. They would come and they would say, faith is good, but besides faith, you must also follow the law of Moses. In other words, Moses gave us a law. That law is eternal. You must follow it with its hundreds and hundreds of regulations. So these people were led astray, both as to their salvation and then also concerning the lives they were going to live after salvation. So I believe these were sincere Christians, in other words, they had personally trusted the Lord as their Savior, but they were untaught in what they were to do from then on. In other words, would they keep their salvation only through faith, or would they need something else to help them keep their salvation? How would they live their Christian lives? These were the major questions in their lives. So these are the issues that we're going to be dealing with in the book of Galatians. First of all, chapters 1 to 4, the plan of salvation itself, and God's salvation only through the Lord Jesus Christ, no compromise, no changing, no taking away, no adding to it. And then the Christian life in chapters 5 and 6. Now, very briefly, I want to go through the outline of the book with you. And if you are taking notes from these studies, you can just write down very briefly the outline. The introduction to the book, there's always an introduction to Paul's epistles. And this introduction is going to go down from verses 1 to 9. And I'll be discussing the introduction a little bit later, and perhaps in another lesson. And then in verse 10 of chapter 1, he begins, first of all, the defense of the true gospel. The defense of the true gospel. is going to go from chapter 1, verse 10, to chapter 4, verse 31. Now, this is what we call the doctrinal section of the book. And many of Paul's books are divided like this. The book of Romans, chapters 1 to 11, are the doctrinal section. Chapters 12 to 15 are the practical section. You're going to see this in Ephesians, you're going to see it in Colossians, you're going to see it in 1 Thessalonians, where Paul divides his books between doctrinal and practical. And so this passage, chapter 1, verse 10 to chapter 4, verse 31, would be the doctrinal section. And then the next section would be the practical section, where he applies the true gospel to life. First of all, the doctrine agrees with his teaching on the true gospel. And so this doctrine is very, very important for them to understand. If they're not standing upon doctrinal foundations, they have no faith at all, nothing to stand on. So you stand on the truth of the Word of God and the doctrine he teaches. And then the second part, chapter 5, verse 1, in fact, down to chapter 6, verse 10. You can actually take it into chapter 6. This section is going to deal with the application of the true gospel to life itself. And this application would be very important because this idea of the false teaching carried over even into the Christian life itself. You live your life by following the law. That was the teaching of the false teachers. And so the application was very, very important. That we're under the Spirit, we're not under the law of Moses. We're under the principles, the moral principles of the Word of God, but we're not under these hundreds of regulations. So this would be the outline of the book. Now, I have a few minutes left, and I want to come in now to the teaching of the introduction itself. The introduction is chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, and I want to come into this introduction with you. And we won't be able to finish it today, but I want to discuss its important points, how he states the purpose of the book, and how he addresses them as Galatians. In other words, they are people whom he deeply respects. He loves them very dearly, but he's having to talk to them like a father. When you study 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or chapter 2 rather, where Paul gives his testimony, he mentions in verse 7 of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians that he had dealt with people like a mother with a nursing child. But in verse 11, he says, he also dealt with them like a father rebuking and correcting his children. And so this is the way he's dealing with these Galatians. He's a loving father to them. He's like a father in the faith to them. Not the heavenly father, of course. We have only one heavenly father. But on the earthly realm, the Apostle Paul was like a father to them. And he's having to be very, very firm to them. Now, in verse 1, he's going to state his authority. And it's very important to us to understand that he speaks with great authority. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Now, I want to talk a little bit about his first verse there, about his introduction to these people. Many times in many of his epistles, the Apostle Paul had spoken of his apostleship. Paul had a problem, and the problem was that he had not actually been with the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry. The other 11 apostles had been with the Lord Jesus. Peter and John and James and the others had been with Jesus for a period of about 3 to 3.5 years. They were trained by the Lord Jesus. They observed him. They saw all of his miracles. They heard all of his teachings. They were instructed and rebuked by him at times even. And so these apostles were true apostles in the eyes of the Christians. But the Apostle Paul was an apostle called later. We believe he is the 12th one to replace Judas. Now some dispute this, but the disciples themselves in Acts chapter 1 chose a man named Matthias. But apparently this was not God's choice. This was their choice because they were worried about who would be the 12th man. But I believe personally that Paul was that 12th man. He was an apostle, in other words, called by God, commissioned by God, instructed by God, and given the authority by God to be an apostle. Now, the apostles were different from other teachers. We don't have apostles today. Some people claim to be apostles, but there are no such things. The last of the apostles died in about 95 AD when John, the brother of James, the sons of Zebedee, when John died in 95 AD, he was the last of the apostles to die. And so there's no more apostleship. That office has changed now. But during the time of the beginning of the church, before the New Testament was gathered together and they had the final Word of God, before all of the books were written, in fact, at that time they needed the authority of apostles. These men would be inspired by God not only to write books, but also to instruct the people. They would be told by God what to say to the people, how to keep the churches straight from any doctrinal area of error, and also in how to keep them straight in their Christian lives. And so when an apostle spoke, he had to be believed. He had to be obeyed because he spoke with the authority of God himself. And so Paul, even though he was chosen by God to be an apostle a year after the church began, in 30 AD, and it wasn't until probably 31 or 32 AD, probably 31, when the apostle Paul was saved, converted on the road to Damascus. But immediately, God appointed him as an apostle. And Paul had often to defend himself. And so in this passage, the apostle Paul said, "I'm an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." In other words, man didn't call me. I'm not appointing myself. It wasn't Peter who appointed me as an apostle. It wasn't John or James or anybody else. God himself appointed me as an apostle. And I don't apologize for this. In other passages, he speaks of himself as an apostle by the will of God, by the command of God. In other words, Paul is saying, I had no choice. God chose me as an apostle. It has led to great sacrifice. It's led to persecution. It's led to many troubles in my life. You read about these in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the last half of that chapter, where Paul lists all of the persecutions and trials that he had gone through for the sake of Christ. But he said, "Nevertheless, I am an apostle. God appointed me this way. He gave me the authority to be an apostle." And now he's saying to these Galatians, as he has said to many other churches, "Listen to me." In other words, when you listen to me, you're listening to the word which God is speaking through me. And you dare not ignore what I'm saying to you. You dare not defy me in any way or treat me badly. Now, the Corinthians did. In 2 Corinthians, apparently they were slandering Paul in every way. And so Paul again and again is defending his apostleship. So this first verse, and I don't want to spend any more time on it, is very, very important, where Paul is saying, no matter what these Judaizers are saying to you, I, as an apostle of God, am speaking to you now the truth. And I want you to turn away from the teaching of these false teachers, these Judaizers. Turn away from their false teaching and come back to the truth that have been taught to you, that I taught to you on my first journey, and now I'm instructing you in this epistle. So the Apostle Paul spoke with the authority of God himself, and they dared not refuse to listen to him. So in this area of doctrine and church conduct, the Apostle Paul is able to speak with great authority. First of all, doctrine, because God had revealed his doctrine very clearly to him. Now let me go back just for a moment. When we read the Word of God, we're not reading, of course, the writings of men. These are written through men, but this is indeed the Word of God that Paul is speaking. And there is God inspired him what to speak in the epistles that he wrote. In all of the books that he wrote, you can absolutely be reading those books believing they are the Word of God. Some people today will sometimes dispute Paul's teaching. Well, that was Paul's prejudice, or that's the way Paul thought, or the way Paul felt. No, it's the Word of God. God used men to write down the epistles, but these epistles were the Word of God. So Paul is saying his apostleship did not come from men, and neither is this book coming from men. In other words, the book itself and the contents of this book, the teaching he's giving them, is from God. And they better listen to it because God is speaking through him as an apostle. So whether it's in the area of doctrine or in the area of Christian life, Paul speaks with the authority of God himself behind him. Now, let me warn you again, as you approach the Word of God, perhaps you've never read it very much, or perhaps you've never thought very much about the Bible. But the entire book is God's Word. Whether it's history, it's correctly recorded. Whether it's prophecy, it's absolutely correctly set down. Whether it's teaching of some kind by the Lord Jesus, it's absolutely recorded in its truth, in its entirety. And whether it's doctrine or Christian life in the epistles, we're going to find it is still the Word of God. And so you don't pick apart the Word of God. You don't tear out books from the Bible simply because you believe that they're not the Word of God. I don't mean we do this literally, but some people in their own minds, it's just like they're tearing out books from the Bible. And you don't do this to the Word of God. You follow the Word of God exactly as it's written. So this is indeed the Word of God that we're reading, and we'll be studying it, and we're going to be going more deeply into it in future lessons. So as I close this lesson, I want to urge you, first of all, to approach God's Word as God's truth. In other words, the teachings of man will often go against God's Word, but you don't listen to false teachers. You rather follow the Word of God itself. You study it, you meditate on it, you ask God for His direction in correctly understanding it. And God will help you in your Christian lives if you follow Him with all your heart. May the Lord bless you and keep you, each one.